It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We're studying through the book of John, and we're in John chapter 1. And we left off last time. We read about the marriage at Cana. And Jesus saith unto her, this is the mother of Jesus now that he's saying this to, because we go back to verse 3 and it says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Well, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And verse 7 goes on to say, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Now we're reading about the first miracle that Jesus did after he was baptized, after that the Holy Spirit came upon him and lighted upon him as a dove. Verse 8 goes on to say, and he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Now let me remind you of something here. Some people believe that Jesus turned this into alcohol. The wine became alcohol. Well, this is not true. And you can go to the Greek, you can go to the Hebrew, I don't care where you go to, God cannot lie. And when we compare Scripture with Scripture, and this is what I try to, indicate as I speak, I go by the Bible. Now, I do look at commentaries to get, to see other people's ideas, but I go to the Bible and get to truth. And when I look at the Bible and I study about wine, I realize that today that our indication to us is that wine is with alcohol. I do not believe that God can lie. God is not a liar, according to the Word of God. He can't lie because He's God. Why in the world would Jesus Christ, who is God, why in the world would He make wine with alcohol in it? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. God wrote the Bible. God cannot lie. Therefore, I know that by reading the Word of God, that the wine that Jesus made was grape juice. It did not contain any alcohol. I read once again Proverbs 20 and verse 1. It says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived by it, thereby is not wise. Proverbs 23:31 goes on to say, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, and when it moveth itself aright. That means fermentation. So I believe that Jesus Christ did not make fermented grape juice. I believe that the grape juice was grape juice. And let me say this, that sometimes we have those who study the Word of God and they go to the Greek and they see the word oinos, and they take for granted that that means that it was alcohol. Well, the Bible tells us and tells me that Jesus Christ would not have made that, because the Bible tells me that we're not to even look upon it when it's fermented, let alone drink it. So I do not believe that, according to the Scriptures, that Jesus made any kind of alcoholic beverage here. He made grape juice. We keep reading here how that in verse 8, and he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And he said, get out the grape juice, get out the beverage, and they bear it. Verse 9, and when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Well, that means that people would ordinarily, I suppose, at these weddings, at the things, at these feasts, would actually get drunk. In the beginning, they would drink alcohol, and they would get drunk. But notice, he said, thou hast kept the good wine until now. In other words, they could actually taste this. They actually knew that it was not fermented wine. They knew that it was grape juice, and it tasted good to them. Verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. This was a further evidence that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ. He was the Savior of the world. He was the light of the world. He's the life of the world. He's all of those things now. He's the light. He's the Savior. He's Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Savior. If you've never trusted him, you need to ask him into your heart. He didn't come just to be a man who performed miracles. He didn't come as God to perform miracles, except one miracle, and that was the miracle of life. He came to give life to those who would receive it. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, or in other words, the children of God. If you've never done that, you've never become a child of God, you need to do it. You can't work your way to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I remind you, Christian, that you are saved not by your works, not by what you've done. We need to be reminded that occasionally. Sometimes we get so wrapped up, we think we're the best thing that ever came into this world. Well, Jesus Christ was the best person who ever came in this world. Jesus Christ is the one who saved us, and we need to remember that. And we need to remember that Jesus Christ wants us to be his workers while we're here. We are ambassadors for Christ. And we need to represent him in the way that is pleasing to him, living for him, telling others about what he has done for us, that he saved us and we're on our way to heaven. We need to tell people about not only the miracle at Cana, but we need to tell them about the miracle that took place with us and we got saved. That's a miracle of God. And we're on our way to heaven. Well, notice verse 11 once again of John chapter 2. Since this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. They didn't stay very long. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Now I want to keep reading here because it's very important that we look at these verses together that I've just read. And Jesus said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Well, you know, as I look around today and I study and I look and I see different local churches, I find that many of them have become places where God's house has been turned into a place of merchandise. Some of these places, I understand, they are like flea markets. You go in and they have things to sell. They sell books. They sell trinkets. They sell shirts. They sell everything imaginable. And they say, well, we need money in order to survive, and we need money to further the gospel. Well, as I study, I find that God supplies needs. And if God cannot supply needs through the local church, enough funds, money to take care of that local congregation, If we do not take care of God's business, then that place needs to be closed down if it cannot be supported by God's people. God takes care of His people. God takes care of His church. And we don't have to depend upon selling things in order to survive as the people of God, as the children of God, to have a place to go to worship Him. God says, my house should not be a house of merchandise. Jesus overthrew those tables and He said, get out of here. Verse 17 of John 2 says, and His disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. In other words, Jesus Christ was jealous. Now, He was not jealous of those people who were selling things because they were making money. He was jealous for the house of God, and He cleansed that. And later on, we see that this is the first cleansing of the temple. There was another time when they came back, and Jesus came back, and He did the same thing. He drove them out. And would to God that God's people would listen to the voice of God and realize that He is the one who supplies needs. He is the one who takes care of His local church. If it's not His local church, it needs to be closed. It needs to shut down. Because if it's not His local church, that place, that building, the people there are not representing my God. They're not representing Jesus Christ. Because you say, well, you're not to judge. I don't judge their heart. Jesus Christ is the Savior. And if they've never trusted Him as their Savior and they're pretending to be on their way to heaven because of good works or anything else, then they are the child of the devil. You're of your father, the devil, the Bible says in John 8:44. And we'll read that later. If you've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of the devil. The Bible is plain. And you need to be a child of God. And I remind you that the only way you become a child of God is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do the things that He wants you to do. And preachers, you need to listen to the voice of God and don't make your church house a den of thieves, a place where it becomes a place of merchandise, but depend upon God to supply the need for that local church that you are pastoring. Now, verse 18 of John chapter 2 goes on to say, then answered the Jews and said unto Him, this is after He had overturned the tables and He ran those people out of there. Then answered the Jews and said unto Him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? In other words, what authority do you have? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now He's giving them evidence of what His authority is. He's telling them that if you kill me, in 3 days I'm going to rise again. He's giving them an indication that He is going to be crucified and He is going to die, but He will rise again in 3 days. We'll pick up here next time where we're leaving off, because the Jews said 40 and 6 years was this temple in building. They thought He was speaking of the temple, of the place where He had gone in and ran those money changers out, those people selling things. But He was speaking of His body. He was speaking of His resurrection after His death. Father, thank You for this time we've had, and may You bless Your word as it goes forth. Thank You, Father, for Your word. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank You that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.